Well, good evening, everyone. It's time to come to order. All right, let's all stand, and if it's convenient for you, sing Come and Dine. Jesus has a table spread where the saints of God are fed. He invites His chosen people, come and dine. With His manna He doth feed and supplies our every need. Oh, 'tis sweet to sup with Jesus all the time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table all the time. You fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. The disciples came to land, thus obeying Christ's command. For the Master called unto them, come and dine. They found the heart's desire, bread and fish upon the fire. Thus He satisfies the hungry every time. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You can feast at Jesus' table all the time. He who fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, come and dine. Soon the Lamb will take His bride, to be ever by His side. All the host of heaven will assemble be. And the glorious sight, all the saints and spotless white, and with Jesus they will feast eternally. Come and dine, the Master calleth, come and dine. You may feast at Jesus' table all the time. You fed the multitude, turned the water into wine. To the hungry calleth now, well, come and dine. Farther along, we'll know all about it. Well, tempted and tried, we're oft made to wonder why it should be thus all the day long. While there are others living about us, well, never molested though in the wrong. Well, farther along we'll know all about it. Farther along we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. When death has come and taken our love, it leaves our home so lonely and drear. Well, then do we ponder why others prosper, living so wicked year after year? Farther along we'll know all about. Farther along we'll understand why. would cheer up my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Faithful till death, said our loving master. A few more days to labor and wait. Toils of the road will then seem as nothing as we sweep through the beautiful gate. Farther along, we'll know all about it. Farther along, we'll understand why. To cheer up my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Now when we see Jesus coming in glory, when he comes from his home in the sky, then we shall meet him in that bright mansion. 'Cause we'll understand it all by and by. Farther along, we'll know all about. Farther along, we'll understand why. Cheer up, my brother, live in the sunshine. We'll understand it all by and by. Before the day, before the light, before the world revolved around the sun, God on high stepped out into time and wrote the story of his love for everyone. He has filled our hearts with wonder, so that we always remember. You and I were made to worship. You and I are called to love. You and I are forgiven and free. You and I embrace surrender. You and I choose to believe, then you and I will see that we were meant to be. All we are and all we have is all a gift from God that we receive. Brought to light, we open up our eyes to see the majesty and glory of the King. You move our hearts with a wonder, so that we always remember. You and I were made to worship. You and I are called to love. You and I are forgiven and free. 'Cause you and I embrace surrender. You and I choose to believe. Then you and I will see that we were meant to be. And even the rocks cry out, and even the heavens shout at the the sound of your holy name. So let every voice sing out, let every knee bow down, He is worthy of all our praise. You and I were made to worship, You and I are called to love, You and I are forgiven and free. When you and I embrace surrender, you and I choose to believe, then you and I will see. You and I were made to worship, you and I are called to love, you and I are forgiven and free. You and I embrace surrender, you and I choose to believe, then you and I will see, we were meant to be. Be seated, please.
Okay, thank you for being here tonight, being a part of this worship time together. I want to kind of bring you up to snuff on kind of what's how things are going as a church. We're in a transition period. We've had some staff to resign, and so we're trying to fill at least one of those positions at this time. And the youth committee interviewed a couple today, Dalton and Erica Ewing. Dalton has taken a coaching job at Harrison High School and teaching math and coaching football. And so the Lord has kind of put things in order for us to be able to talk to him. And You'll find out more about that on this coming Sunday night. We will be having a business meeting, and sometimes I don't say anything until everything is go, but I'll be talking with the deacons on Thursday night, and we'll be talking about the meeting that we had today, and it went very well, and the committee voted to present them to the church as Dalton as the new youth director. And so Erica will be his sidekick and helper in that. And you'll have an opportunity Sunday night before we vote to ask any questions that you want to. But things look really good that they will come on staff and live in the parsonage. And so that'll give you something to be praying about and lifting that up to the Lord. No hitches foreseen. That'll be our next youth director, and we'll bring that about next Sunday night, the Lord willing. I want to give you an opportunity if you have a testimony, or if you have a prayer request or anything that you'd like to share tonight. Anyone have anything? We used to do this on Sunday night on a very regular basis. Teresa? Pray for them. Praying that everything will go well, and no problems. And the Rays are new grandparents from that same procedure, I understand. So, Max? Amen. Anyone else? Any others? Okay, Nick. Any others? Thank you, Margie. Margie's certainly been a great blessing in our lives for years, really. She's such a blessing, and especially in Gwen and mine's life, she's doing things to make life easier for us. She's been one. Several of you have, and we're so grateful for that. Helped us with the kids at different times, and not just these children, but others that we've had. I don't know if you know it or not, but we've had over 30 in the last 3 years, and you have. Helped us out with that tremendously, and Margie's been a huge help in that. I said something to her the other day about, when we were building the house or rebuilding it or whatever, she brought lunch to the workers every day, and she brought lunch down to where we were taking the house down, and several of you were involved in that process in several different ways, and God has used that. He's used that old house to house some young people in the last 3 years, and it has been a blessing, and we certainly are very grateful for. What you've done as a church to help us out there, just it seems like that whatever Gwen and I are involved in, you just come along and get involved in it yourself, and that's such a blessing in our lives to see that take place. I attended a memorial service yesterday for Chuck Wagger. And I want to just share with you one part of that really blessed my life, my heart. And Chuck and his wife had four daughters, and four or five, I don't know. It seemed like there was four, but. Anyway, the oldest daughter got up and spoke, and she She told a story that I thought was just so tremendous that all of us can learn from. And she said that when her dad retired from the military, he had felt the call to preach, and so he moved them to Dallas, Texas to go to Dallas Bible College. And that was under the direction of Criswell, I think, at that time. They didn't say anything about that, but I just going by what I thought. And she said he had two jobs. One started at 4 o'clock in the morning, and the other one, after hours, he had a job cleaning a bakery or something. And she said, I was a bitter, angry teenager because I didn't want to move. And she said, I had gone through the motions of becoming a Christian, joining the church. But she said, I was a bitter, angry individual. And she said that her dad couldn't type, but she could. And she said, I was good at it. I'd taken it in high school. She said, I was good at it, and I loved it. And she said, so I was his typist. She said, through that time of typing his stuff, him going to school and the things that he had to turn in that had to be typed, and the different scriptures that I don't know what that Bible college was like. I know in the one I went to, you had to take passages and really dissect them and give an exegesis of that passage. And I'm assuming that was some of the things that she had to type. But she said, you have to understand that the Word of God is quick and powerful, and it's alive. And she said, I was angry and bitter, but she said the Word of God just penetrated my soul and changed my life. And it was through typing those things for her dad. I thought that was a marvelous, marvelous story, because God has a plan for every one of us. And even when we're angry and mad and rebelling, God still has a plan in our life. Even when we're trying to get away from Him, He still has a plan for our life. And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, trying to get away from Him. So I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Jonah. Was there anyone else that, if he ever stops, I'm going to say something? Okay. The book of Jonah, the first chapter, and the first 17 verses. Let's stand together as we give reverence to the reading of God's precious and holy word. And you know, when you hear stories like that, that word just becomes much more precious to us. Jonah is listed as one of the minor prophets. And you've heard me preach enough to know that the minor prophets doesn't have to do with some of them are more important. The major prophets are more important than the minor prophets. It has to do with the size of the book. And so Jonah is a short book. It's listed as one of the minor prophets. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish, and he paid the fare thereof, and he went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord, I like that, don't you? But the Lord had other plans. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his small g, unto his God, and cast forth the wires that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, What meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise and call upon thy God. And notice, in the King James at least, it's not a little g, but it's a big G. It's the God of the universe. It's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. If so be that God will, big G, God will think upon us that we may perish not. And they said, everyone to his fellow, come and let us cast lots that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. God uses all kinds of, you'd think this doesn't seem right of God, does it? But he does, and he uses this. Then said they unto him, so they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. And then said they unto him, Tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us. What is thine? Now listen closely, because I think this has so much to do with the story of the book. What is thine occupation? And whence comest thou? And what is thy country? And of what people art thou? You notice those drilling questions? Where did you come from? What's your occupation? And he said unto them, I'm a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, or Jehovah, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, Why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, What shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempest. And he said unto them, Take me up and cast me forth into the sea, so shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, they tried to get out of it. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not, for the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, We beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood, for thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Wow, what a story. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days, 3 nights. You may be seated. Number one, disobedience requires a casual relationship with God. And when I try to use this word casual, it's in contrast to an intimate relationship with the Lord. That where our heart is given to Him, our relationship is that we want to follow His command. When the Lord says, do this, then do it. Follow His steps. Do what He has called us to do. Jonah said, I'll go as far from God as possible. Now, I hope that there's not anyone that would make that decision here tonight. I hope that's not in your future. But it is in a lot of people's lives. So Nineveh was east of Israel, and Tarshish was far west. Matter of fact, as far west as you can go. So Jonah went as far in the opposite direction as he could go in his disobedience. I think that there are times that we may not even realize that we're going as far in the opposite direction as we can go. We try to take this casual way out. This, well, I'm not going to do what God's called me to do. I'm just going to try to be quiet about that. And but I've not chosen to go as far from Him as Jonah has gone. In the New Testament, the Bible says that because the people in the book of Revelation were neither hot nor cold, that God would spew them out of His mouth. So they didn't go as far away as they could go, but they had this casual thing of serving the Lord. I don't want to get too involved. God might call me to the farthest corners of Africa if I were to surrender my life to Him. No telling what He may call me to preach if I were to surrender everything to Him. He might put it on me that I'd have to be faithful in everything. So, Adam, disobedience, required him to hide from God. That's kind of what Jonah was doing. And so, you remember the story? I read it to the kids, I think, this week. They've got a little book that tells the story of creation. And God walked in the garden in the cool of the evening, and Adam and Eve, because of their sin, had hid from God. And God said, "Where are you, Adam?" Now, let me ask you, I ask myself, did God know where Adam was? He knew. He knows where we're at. And I'd have to confess that there's times in my life that I don't want to be obedient. But God knows where I'm at. And it's not when He questions me about my attitude or my lifestyle, it's not that He doesn't know. He knows. He wants Lanny to know where he's at. I listened to Tony Evans preach a message of few weeks ago about Adam, where are you? And he's talking about the men of the church. Adam, where are you? You're the leader. You're the man. Where are you? Adam, where are you? What kind of example have you set, Adam, for your wife and for your children, for those people that live around you? Adam, where are you at? Where are those Adams at tonight that should be here? That should be setting the example for their family, but are setting an opposite example. The Bible says that if we love Him, we will obey. I want you to look at the Holy Spirit is given to those who obey. I want to clarify that little statement, because this is what I believe. I believe that everyone that is saved gets the Holy Spirit. But I believe that there is a working of the Holy Spirit in the lives of those who are obedient that is greater, a greater work than folks that try to treat Christianity in a casual way. Look with me at Acts, the 5th chapter. over in the New Testament. Acts, Romans. Acts 5, look at verse 32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them. Could we stop there? So I didn't make that up. That God has given to them that obey him. And I know that I understand that we could say he's talking about those that have obeyed him in being saved. And I think that is true. I think that you could use that point. But also I think that it has a lot to do with our daily obedience to him, our daily walk with him. Look with me at John, the 14th chapter. John 14, and look down at verse 15. If you love me, these are the words of Jesus. If you have a red letter edition Bible, it's in the red letters. So it's Jesus is the one that is doing the speaking, and he's speaking to you, and he's speaking to me. And this is what he says in the 15th verse. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now we have to keep drifting our mind back to Jonah. Jonah had been given a command to go to Nineveh. And he hated the Ninevites. They were awful people. They were cruel. They were awful. There is story after story about what they did to the people when they took them over. Awful, horrible things that they did to the societies that they overran. And Jonah hated them. He didn't want them to be saved. If you love me, keep my commandments. Go down to verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Back up in the Old Testament to 1 Samuel. Have to get over in the before the Kings and get to 1 Samuel, the 15th chapter. And look at verse 22, 1 Samuel 15. And verse 22, and Samuel said, hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? It's a hard deal. And Samuel said, hath the Lord as great a delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. Verse 23, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. You remember what was going on there? Saul was given a command, and he did not follow it. Now back to Jonah. Jonah was asleep in a deadly storm brought about by his own disobedience. We've been able to witness that ourselves, Gwen and I have, in dealing with children that have been took out of the home because of ungodly parents. Drugs and alcohol, all different kinds of abuse. And these parents are asleep in the midst of a great storm that they have created themselves by their own lifestyles, by their own poor choices, and created a great storm in the lives of these children. And so far, we have never gotten one that wasn't broken. All of them are broken. Not any of them that don't have some kind of issue, some worse than others, but all of them broken. All of them with some kind of issue. We have to keep reminding ourselves that these children have been pulled away from their parents and put in a home where they did not know the people. And can you imagine what has to go through their mind in a situation like that? Numbers, Deuteronomy, the 11th chapter. I didn't mark it, so you got the same chance I have. Maybe better if you're using your phone. Deuteronomy 11. And look at verse 1. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day to go after other gods which you have not known. There's lots of parents who are asleep today in the midst of a storm created by their own disobedience. So they've asked, and this is in closing, but in verse 8 in the Jonah 1, they've asked four real penetrating questions here that at least some of those would have to do with us. It would have to do with our own relationship with the Lord when we are dealing with other people. The first question that they asked Jonah was, what's your occupation? Do you know what his occupation was? He was a prophet. Can you imagine? When they asked Jonah that question, what's your occupation? I'm a prophet. Could have, if it had been Paul, Paul could have said, well, I'm a tent maker. If he'd have been trying to divert people from the real deal. I'm a prophet. Well, why are you here? Why are you? Why am I where I'm at? What are you doing here? Why are you here? I remember David Miller asking me, as he said at our lunch table, he was holding a revival in the church where Gwen and I were members, and we did our duty. We had the evangelist over for lunch, but he wasn't there for lunch. He was there to drill me. And that was one of the questions that he asked. He asked me, has God called you to preach? Yes. I mean, I had to say yes or no. Yes. Then why are you here? Why are you here? Get out of here. Leave here. Why are you here? So we have to ask ourselves this question. Why are we here? Why am I behind this pulpit? Is this where I'm supposed to be behind this pulpit? Why are you here? If God has called you to something else, why are you here? So they asked Jonah, why are you here? Well, his answer would be the same answer that would be in the life of many Christians, because I'm running from God. What's your country? Israel. The chosen of God. God's country. God's blessings on the land. Who are your people? I'm a Hebrew. I'm a follower of Jehovah God, the creator of this sea that is in such a tempest, who created the heaven and the earth. I'd like to ask that in the lives of some young people who, young married couples that are having trouble. Why are you here? Why are you having this trouble in your marriage? Because you're fleeing from God? Because you're not doing what God has called you to do? Because He's the author of marriage. He's the author of the universe. He's the author of all things. So we have to be cautious, or we'll be asleep in the midst of a storm that we created by our own disobedience. What would it take in your life and in my life for us to be doing what God has called us to do? Or are we doing what God's called us to do? Has he spoke to our heart and we're really doing what he wants us to do? God's moved me a few times in my pastoring career, and every time that he's said to me, move, it's always been better. I never did think it was going to be better, but it's always been better. We spent 14 months in a place that I think that it was demon-possessed. I really believe that there was a dark demon control, not necessarily in the church, but in that area. We spent 14 months there. There was one person saved, and no one was baptized. And the church did not grow at all. It was a little mission, Southern Baptist mission. I never should have went in the first place. It wasn't what God wanted me to do, and I didn't realize. I didn't know how to read God then. I didn't know. Sometimes he allows things that even that we're not supposed to do, but we do it out of convenience. And Gwen was heavy pregnant with Rebecca, and we were driving 150 miles one way to pastor a church and leaving to go back to school Sunday night, and making that 3-hour drive. And it's hard on her, and so I thought it'd be more convenient if we got closer. Anyway, it wasn't what we were supposed to do. We did anyway. But God finally gave us leave to leave. And I resigned, and I called the college where I'd been going and been working, and I called the business manager, and I said,
I need a job, and we need a place to live. He said, come on, we got both. And so we packed up and moved back to the college, and I went to work for the college. And first Sunday we was there, we went to the college chapel church. That was the only Sunday that I had not preached in several years. And it was the only Sunday since then that I haven't preached other than by my own choice. I've been sick or something or on vacation. But anyway, we went, we took a mission church outside of Pocahontas. And the first year, we baptized over 50 people. We led the association in baptisms. And part of that time, we were having services on a slab of concrete with no walls nor roof. Part of the time we was out in a yard, part of the time we was in a house. But there's so much difference in being obedient to what God has called you to and not being obedient and knowing, being able God, he doesn't step up on the porch. This is what I've always wanted him to do, but he never has done it the way that I thought he should do it. Is step up on the porch, knock on the door, and when you answered the door, he would say, Lanny, this is what I want you to do. He just don't ever do it that way. But he opens doors, and he closes doors, and he moves on our heart. And as we read his word and as we pray, he teaches us about what we're supposed to do and where we're supposed to be. It would make sense for Jonah not to want to witness to the Ninevites. It'd make all the sense in the world. But I'm telling you, God don't make any sense. And he says that my ways are not your ways. As a matter of fact, he says, my ways are past. Remember that last little phrase? Finding out. Let's stand together. Travis, it sure is good to have you and Pansy back with us after being gone. Will you dismiss with a word of prayer?